Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Happy Friday, or as I like to say, Happy Fri-yay. You have made it. The end of the week is here, and the weekend is near. It is an absolutely beautiful, beautiful Friday here in mid-Michigan as well. It can't get any better than this. I am loving the summertime right now. Again, I feel like I say that every single time I come on Current Sports during these summer days because, again, they don't last. We only get, what, 3 months of this here in the great state of Michigan. So I'm loving it, folks. I actually went out yesterday, last minute. You know, I just decided, man, it was too nice just to stay inside after work. And, you know, I threw on my golf shoes and went out and played just 9 holes solo dolo. And I actually walked the entire way. I haven't done that, man, in years. So I got a great cardio workout in. And Jack Kerwin, the man behind the glass for today's Current Sports, Jack, I carded my lowest 9-hole score ever yesterday. I played at Meridian Sun here locally, and I was in a zone. So Al Woods is feeling it, man, on the golf course right now. Man, it was a good time, dude. Good time.
That away. So what did you shoot?
I shot, par there on the, you know, on both the front and back nine are 32s. So I ended up shooting a 40 yesterday. That's my lowest 9-hole total ever. So I felt good, man. I felt really, really good. But it was just a good day just to get out and about and do something. You know what I mean? Soak up these days, folks, whether it's, you know, playing some golf, or even just taking a walk. You know, enjoy the outdoors because, again, we don't get days like this, all right? Okay, folks, yesterday we highlighted the Detroit Lions and talked about the Honolulu Blue and training camp officially getting underway. Yes, Damon Snacks Harrison showed up. Darius Slay also showed up. Both of them, though, are on the physically unable to perform list. They missed mandatory training camp. I believe, what was that, last week? In the past few weeks. So they did show up for, you know, the first practice for the Detroit Lions. And it was such an odd but entertaining media availability for Darius Slay because he was asked about his contract and whether or not he believes that he is underpaid. And, you know, he just... There were multiple questions like that, and he just said, you know, next question. You know, he gave you the old Mark D'Antonio treatment. Remember that, right? The next question press conference. And then, you know, eventually he fired the question back at a reporter, you know, saying, hey, do you think I'm underpaid? And the reporter said, well, yeah, looking at things, I would say yes. And he's like, well, there you go. The world knows it. So I want to talk about the contract of Darius Slay. You know, so we'll continue our talk of the Detroit Lions. You know, yesterday, if you missed yesterday's Current Sports, you know, I gave you my biggest questions for the Detroit Lions heading into this season, this upcoming year. And I talked about how, you know, I believe that Matt Patricia doesn't have a lot of pressure on him coming into this year based on expectations for the Detroit Lions. So we'll touch on Slay and the Lions in just a moment. Also, I want to bring to you a very cool NPR story that I heard this morning. It was forwarded to me by our very own news director, Reginald Hardwick. And it's so interesting on a lot of different levels, folks. I'm going to tell you about the extraordinary life of Major Taylor, who is dubbed as America's first black sports hero. Trust, you don't want to miss this piece. Incredibly entertaining and enlightening, all right? And then on the back end of the show, it is Friday. And on each and every Friday here on Current Sports, we invite the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis. I'm actually rocking some Blessed Body Training gear right now, rocking the T-shirt from Johnny's brand. Johnny Lewis, MSU alum and fitness training expert. He'll join us for another edition of Fit Fridays, all right? So you don't want to miss that. And then we'll have Reflection Friday as well, where we take a look at exactly what happened here on Current Sports and recap some of our favorite moments, discussions, guests, and so on and so forth, all right? Maybe a few stories that we didn't get a chance to touch on. So phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can watch and comment below the live stream there. And you can also tweet us, join the convo on Twitter, at WKAR News is how you tweet the show, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. I want to start here and issue a big congratulations to a local coach that I've been covering since my internship days at WLNS when I was a student here at Michigan State University. Jerry Van Havel, former head football coach at Mason High School, has now been hired by Michigan State's football program. That's awesome stuff. He is going to be now Michigan State's on-campus recruiting coordinator. MSU football spokesman Ben Flieger confirmed Van Havel's hiring yesterday in an email to the Lansing State Journal. Van Havel confirmed on Wednesday, courtesy of his Facebook page, that he has signed a contract. Van Havel said he views the job as, quote, the chance of a lifetime and the last professional stop of my life. I am so fortunate to join the Spartan family. Thank you to everyone who helped me get there. So, again, I've covered, you know, Jerry for a long time as head coach of the Mason High School football team. You know, he was one of actually the very first coaches I met. I remember going out for a Team of the Week feature and interviewing Jerry. The dude is intense. He loves working with kids. You have to, right? When you coach high school football, and when you've been a long time teacher like Jerry has been, and now an on campus recruiter for MSU football, and you know, he is a relentless hard worker as well. So I have no doubt that Jerry is going to do a great job. Congratulations again to now former Mason High School football coach Jerry Van Havel for this promotion, this move in his career, joining Mark D'Antonio's staff as on-campus recruiting coordinator. All right, Moneyball Summer League, another week in the books when it comes to the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. Actually, the final week of Moneyball will be next week with the quarterfinals and the semifinals and, of course, the championship game taking place on Tuesday and Thursday. The championship game, of course, being played as the final game on Thursday's slate. And we only saw two games happen yesterday evening because there was a roster issue with Team Freeze and Team Exclusive, and there just weren't enough players to play that final game. And it's a bit unfortunate because Matt McQuaid happened to enter the building just as it was announced. Desmond Ferguson, the founder of the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am in its 16th year now, you know, he decided to pull the plug because, again, there just weren't enough players. But Matt McQuaid walked in the door ready to hoop it up. I mean, he came in with his shoes in hand, and he was a bit surprised and a bit bummed that he didn't get a chance to lace them up. So you only saw two games happen last night. Team Citron beat Team Cosmic 93-67, the final there. And then we saw Team Roots beat Team Dimension 108-74. So I also want to give a shout out to Kenny Goins, who is also in the His House. Goins, of course, signed a contract to play professional basketball overseas, and he was at Moneyball at the Aim High Sports Complex in Diamonddale last night, you know, signing autographs, taking pictures, kissing babies, and all of that jazz. So really cool to see Kenny Goins and Matt McQuaid both at Moneyball, even though, you know, Matt McQuaid couldn't ball out. So, all right, a charitable organization founded by former New York Yankees shortstop and Kalamazoo native Derek Jeter is donating about $3.2 million to renovate a baseball and softball complex at his Michigan high school. The Kalamazoo Public Schools District announced the donation yesterday from the Turn 2 Foundation. Planned work includes new fields, seating, and dugouts, as well as synthetic turf. Now, the Kalamazoo Gazette reports school officials say the project is scheduled to be completed in the year 2021. Jeter graduated from Kalamazoo Central High School in 1992, and the baseball field at the complex was named Derek Jeter Field in his honor back in 2012. All right. The Detroit Tigers just got absolutely rocked by the Seattle Mariners yesterday. 10-2, the final there. 10-2, the Mariners putting it on the Tigers. The Tigers sit at 30-68. They will resume that series tonight at 10:10 p.m., and tomorrow's game will take place at 4:10 p.m. All right, Don Mossy has passed away, folks. Baseball fans may not have known his name, but they probably have seen his face on a baseball card or a broadcast. Don Mossy, who pitched for four teams across 12 seasons and was better remembered as the Sphinx or Ears, he sadly passed away at the age of 90. That's a life well lived, right? 90 years old this morning in Idaho. Now, the dueling nicknames were derived from his distinctive facial features, namely his prominent nose and ears. And the California native led the Tigers in ERA back in 1959 and 1961. A 3.36 ERA in 1959 and a 2.96 ERA in 61. And tied for the team lead in victories, 17, back in 59. So, again, Don Mossy passing away at the age of 90. Okay, Darius Slay, he reported for duty with the rest of his Detroit Lions teammates on Wednesday, but that doesn't mean he's happy with his contract. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, Slay said, quote, next question, seven times to various queries about his contract and decision not to hold out of training camp like several of his colleagues are doing across the NFL this summer. But he still made it clear that he thinks he deserves to be paid more than the $22.55 million in base salary he has left on his contract for the 2019 to 2020 seasons. Asked what he thought about his current deal, Slay said, quote, what do you think of it? When a reporter said Slay seemed underpaid, Slay said, quote, yeah, okay then. Everybody in the world knows. End quote. So Slay is scheduled to make $12.55 million this fall in the third year of a four-year extension that he signed back in 2016. I'll have more details on Darius Slay holding out, but now, of course, returning to practice with his team and get ready for the new season for the Detroit Lions. And we'll discuss whether or not Darius Slay is indeed underpaid. All right, Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons making news. Drummond's steady social media activity depicting workouts in Las Vegas were the giveaway that he would honor his commitment, and Team USA confirmed it yesterday afternoon. Men's National Team Managing Director Jerry Colangelo, he announced that the Detroit Pistons center, along with 17 other players, is expected to participate in the five-day training camp to determine the 12-man team that will represent the United States at the FIBA World Cup, which will begin in late August out in China. So, there you go. Andre Drummond, possibly playing for Team USA, participating in that five-day training camp to see if he makes that 12-man roster. All right, and Caleb Dressel, he has broken Michael Phelps' world record in the 100-meter butterfly at the Swimming World Championships. The American won his semifinal heat in 49.50 seconds. That's 0.32 seconds better than Phelps' mark set at the 2009 World Meet in Rome at the height of the high-tech suit era. Dressel was out in 22.83 seconds and 0.53 seconds under Phelps' pace and came home in 26.67 to lead eight men into tomorrow's final. Now, he was a whopping 1.44 seconds ahead of Andrei Minnikov of Russia, the second quickest qualifier. And this is what Dressel had to say after accomplishing this remarkable feat. Quote, just the standard that Michael set. Wanted to go after it. I hope he was happy watching me do that. Awesome stuff. And I mentioned earlier this week how, you know, that 19-year-old had broken another record of Michael Phelps. I don't know. There must be something in the water. All right, folks.
Boo.
You like that? You like that, Jack? And that just, that was off the top of the dome. That just came to me.
Boo.
All right, folks. That does it for your current sports quick hits headliners. Oh, we love to have fun here. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and you can comment right below that live stream. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, again, happy Friday to you all. And, you know, before we talk some Detroit Lions, we'll do that in just a moment. Again, we have Johnny Lewis also scheduled for another edition of Fit Fridays. Johnny Lewis, MSU alum and fitness trainer who now lives in Arizona. He joins us every Friday to help you get in shape, live your best life, and be healthier. All right, so you don't want to miss that. We'll also have Reflection Friday, reflecting on the week. Before we do that, though, you know, our news director here at WKAR, Reginald Hartwick, he forwarded me a story from NPR that aired today, that aired this morning, actually, centered on a man by the name of Major Taylor, who has been dubbed as America's first Black sports hero. Now, to many, including myself, I didn't know who Major Taylor was until, you know, listening to this piece as NPR Steve Inskeep goes back in cycling history with a man by the name of Michael Cranish, whose new book is entitled The World's Fastest Man, The Extraordinary Life of Cyclist Major Taylor, America's first Black sports hero. And what I want to do, I want to play this piece for you all. And then afterward, I want to just take a look at some of the biggest names in African-American sports history that without these names, you wouldn't have the Michael Jordans, LeBron James, Derek Jeters, Floyd Mayweathers of the world. And this story from Major Taylor, heck, you know, it intrigued me so much. I may have to pick up this book because it chronicles a life from Taylor that was fearless in spite of so many different hurdles. Here it is.
We've got a story now from the intersection of sports and civil rights. The world's best cyclists head toward the finish line at the Tour de France this weekend. Generations ago, before there was a Tour de France, an American cyclist shot to fame. He raced from the American Midwest to Paris. His name was Major Taylor, and he was born in 1878, a black athlete in the days of segregation.
Well, really, Major Taylor belongs in the pantheon of athletes who are civil rights leaders. He was before Jack Johnson or Jesse Owens or Jackie Robinson.
Michael Cranish wrote a book about Major Taylor called The World's Fastest Man. Steve Inskeep spoke with Cranish recently about Taylor, including how the cyclist grew up in Indianapolis and caught the attention of a cycling company owner named Bertie Munger.
He saw Major Taylor race and was astonished eventually to see that he was almost setting world records unofficially. He couldn't believe how fast this young man was. So he basically said, I want to start training you. I want to give you the state-of-the-art bicycle that I'm building at my company here in Indianapolis. And that's what he did.
What happened in the 1890s when a young black man showed up at a race that I presume most of the competitors were white and he wanted to race right alongside them as an equal?
Well, he was often restricted under Jim Crow restrictions. He was often told, you can't race here. So it was very difficult. Eventually, Bertie Munger took Major Taylor to Worcester, Massachusetts to start a new company and to help him basically avoid some of the racism that he did face in Indianapolis. Major Taylor had gone to the local YMCA in Indianapolis, and he was told, you can't enter because of your skin color. Hmm. And it was the first time Major Taylor said he encountered what he called the monster prejudice, quote unquote. So in Worcester, Massachusetts, he was able to go to the YMCA, train there, and he developed into this extraordinary athlete. Eventually, Bertie Munger did take Major Taylor in 1896 to New York City, which was the center of the nation's bicycling craze. This was 7 months after the infamous Supreme Court ruling of Plessy versus Ferguson, which said separate but equal accommodations for blacks were okay.
Codifying legal racism across the United States.
Right, institutionalizing the Jim Crow laws. So if you get the context here, bicycling is the craze of the country. Plessy has basically institutionalized the racism. And here he is in December of 1896 at Madison Square Garden, the greatest arena in the country. And he is competing in a race that's called the six-day race because you would race for 6 days straight with an hour or two of rest here or there. It was extraordinary that this one 18-year-old black man was able to compete against the best white racers in the country and the world. To get into this race, he'd gone to the promoters and initially said, no, if a black man goes into this race, there'll be a riot in New York City. You can't compete. And Major Taylor said, no, I should be able to compete in this race. And eventually the promoters realized that having a black man compete against all these whites could be a marketing tool in a race that was portrayed as black versus white.
I'm thinking that we're getting into the era when Jack Johnson became the heavyweight boxing champion of the world, right? And there were white contenders who went against him and were considered the great white hope. That's where that phrase came from. So this is the same thing?
Well, this was actually before Jack Johnson. So Jack Johnson actually became the world heavyweight boxing champion in 1908. So this is 1896. Major Taylor paved the way. Not only that, Jack Johnson, most people don't realize, he actually started his career as a cyclist. He wanted to emulate Major Taylor. So Jack Johnson was in a race in Texas, and he went around the track, and he was seriously injured. He was in the hospital. And he then said, I want to participate in a safer sport, boxing. Because if you can imagine how dangerous cycling was, this was a sport in which you were packed around the track. If you were going behind a pacing vehicle, you could reach speeds of 40 miles per hour. It was an extraordinarily exciting race, very dangerous race. Major Taylor said that he saw at least 11 of his colleagues were killed because you would crash, you didn't wear helmets, you'd have concussions. There were these cathedrals of cycling all over the country called velodromes, and this is where Major Taylor often raced. He raced in this country and all over the world, and he became one of the most famous athletes of his time.
Famous among black as well as white sports fans.
There really was no one else in our history at this time like Major Taylor. And the racism that he faced was extraordinary. He had to face not just being banned, but there were people who would try to beat him up. He feared for his life. He had these scrapbooks that I used for the research in the book. And oftentimes there were stories about death threats against him. At one point, one of his competitors choked him on the track. He lay senseless for 5 minutes on the track until finally his manager came out and was able to revive him. And there was such concern by Major Taylor and his trainers that he would be banned from these races by whites that they tried an audacious plan of using a lotion that was marketed at the time for sort of racist reasons that would lighten your skin. Mm. All the lotion did was just incredibly injure Major Taylor. It was incredibly painful, acidic, hurtful. And so at that point, basically, it was a turning point for Major Taylor. He said, never again will I let someone try to treat me for something other than what I am. I will use the racism against me as my motivation.
Mr. Cranish, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
That was Steve talking with Michael Cranish, an investigative reporter at The Washington Post and author of The World's Fastest Man, The Extraordinary Life of Major Taylor, America's First Black Sports Hero.
Pretty incredible, right? Major Taylor. And in March of actually 1932, Taylor suffered a heart attack. And, you know, he actually passed away at a pretty young age. June 21st of that year at the age of 53. But, you know, quite remarkable when you listen to that discussion between NPR's Steve Inskeep and author Michael Cranish. Again, new book, The World's Fastest Man, The Extraordinary Life of Cyclist Major Taylor, America's First Black Sports Hero. And I had no idea that, first of all, I didn't know who Major Taylor was until today, after hearing this piece. And then to hear, you know, Cranish talk about how Jack Johnson, famed boxer, a pioneer when talking about African-American sports heroes. You know, Jack's one of the first names that come to mind. And Jack Johnson was inspired before boxing to try cycling because of Major Taylor. And, you know, he felt like it was, and you heard Steve Inskeep have a great chuckle, you know, when Michael Cranish talks about how, you know, Jack Johnson, I guess he may have wiped out or looked at the sport and said, oh my goodness, this sport is pretty dangerous. Let me go try boxing of all sports, right? But it's extraordinary. And that last part just, and I really want to definitely get this book and dive into it, because I can only imagine what Major went through. And you heard a bit of that struggle as Michael Cranish talks about how Major was offered a lotion, this highly toxic, acidic lotion, to try and brighten his skin to look more like his white counterparts. I mean, that's the kind of sick world that we were living in back then, and heck, in some regards, are still living in, right? But the black athlete has come a long, long way. And, you know, I just got to thinking about all of the black athletes in the history of sports that have paved the way for today's black athlete. You know, where you can earn a living, a really, really good living, getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport here in America. I mean, it's quite remarkable when I turn on my television and watch ESPN and Fox Sports and to hear about these insane contracts that players, black athletes in the NFL are getting paid, in the National Basketball Association, those crazy contracts, and, you know, in the sport of boxing as well. But without the Major Taylors of the world, we wouldn't see that. You know, they suffered so that the black athlete today could benefit. You know, Jack Johnson, he boxed from 1897 to 1938, becoming the first black heavyweight boxing champion. He faced the undefeated white boxer James Jeffries in 1910. And, you know, Johnson was one of the first celebrity athletes with a pretty lucrative side career endorsing various products. You know, many people would peg him as really the first endorsed athlete. So, you know, but as the story goes with Jack, I mean, after he retired, you know, he went broke. You know, he had a lot of bad people around him took advantage of him, and his life after boxing just wasn't great. But, you know, Jack Johnson, we salute you. How about the great Joe Louis? You know, from 1937 to 1949, Detroit's pride, right? Joe Louis. You know, he held the heavyweight title for 140 consecutive months, the longest such streak in boxing history. You know, many people regard Joe Louis as the first black national hero. Absolutely amazing. You know, the Joe Louis fist downtown Detroit, you know, that symbolizes a lot. And, you know, a lot of old school sports fans, boxing fans, can relate so much to that symbolism of Joe Louis, the Joe Louis fist. The great Jesse Owens comes to mind. You know, how about Jackie Robinson, right? You know, that's what a lot of those instances remind you of, right? You know, that kind of backlash that Major Taylor went through. You know, his white counterparts not accepting him and him having to fight his way in to at least just compete with them, not being accepted. I'm sure there were many derogatory words directed toward Major Taylor. Those are the kind of things that Jackie Robinson went through. You know, he sacrificed so much so that black athletes, not just within the sport of baseball, could play within those arenas alongside whites and other races. But the black athlete in general, in other sports as well, that had a tremendous trickle-down effect. You know, Jackie Robinson, a national sports hero. I could go on and on. Hank Aaron. And I can mention Bill Russell and the struggles that he endured, you know, and if you watch the NBA awards, when it comes to Bill Russell, he talks about how there were many racial derogatory words directed his way when he was balling out and winning championships with the Boston Celtics. You know, the great Jim Brown, of course, Muhammad Ali. Quite amazing, man. And you know, just as a black man in America, when I hear a story like that and when I think about these great black athletes of the past, man, it gives me great pride. I feel so proud to be a black man here in America. So, awesome stuff. And again, thank you to our very own Reginald Hardwick for directing my attention to this story. Again, NPR Steve Inskeep chatting with Michael Cranish. New book entitled The World's Fastest Man, The Extraordinary Life of Cyclist Major Taylor, America's First Black Sports Hero. And it's also fitting that we're talking about Major Taylor, and, you know, he was a cyclist, because the Tour de France is also underway. You know, this is like the most famous race in the sport of cycling. And an update when it comes to the Tour de France. There is a hailstorm that has really thrown the tour into chaos and delayed it. So in stage 19, the race has been delayed because of this hailstorm. Wanted to pass along that to you all as well. Okay, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about Darius Slay and how in my opinion, the best defensive player on the Detroit Lions, corner Darius Slay, how he's unhappy with his contract. That and more, you are listening to the Friday edition of Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. In just a moment, we are going to welcome the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Louis, for another edition of Fit Fridays. You know, Jack, and I'm always embarrassed to admit this, man. Johnny is going to be talking about the benefits of pool workouts, and I can't swim, dude. Always embarrassed to admit that. And, you know, it's it's kind of a stereotype in the black community, you know, that black people can't swim. I really can't. I will say this. I Let me modify that. I can swim from one part of the pool to the next if I'm just nonstop just going at it. But I can't tread water. So that's just like not swimming. You know, if you can't tread water, if you can't stay in one place and keep yourself above the water, you're dead. You're dead.
It's okay. I can't swim either.
You can't.
I'm just joking. Oh, I'm just kidding. I can swim.
Jack is so cruel. Jack is just so cruel. And for a minute, I'm like, oh, man, I feel better now. And then you hit me with the okie doke. So, yeah, man. But so have you hit the pool this summer at all?
Only once when I was in Chicago on vacation last week. I went to my godfather's place and swam for a couple hours. Awesome. I need a tan badly. I'm doing too much work. I'm working too much here. I'm working too much at my other internship, my other job, and my classes. Right. Haven't had any time to get any sun.
Oh, man, you're grinded, dude. I love it, Jack. You are a grinder. That's why we appreciate you so much here. WKAR's current sports, but yeah, I can't swim, so this will be a fun Fit Fridays as Johnny talks about pool workouts. All right, you don't want to miss that. All right, Darius Slay is unhappy. If you're just now tuning into current sports and you didn't hear my spiel at the beginning of the hour or during our current sports quick hit headliners, Darius Slay, he talked with reporters after practice yesterday. And he made it pretty clear that he is not happy with his contract. Not happy at all. He said, next question, 7 times when it came to various questions about his contract decision to, you know, hold out of training camp, which actually costed, I didn't know that until this morning. I didn't know this costed him some moolah, Jack. This actually costed him, I want to say, a little over $300,000 with him holding out. And that's a drop in the bucket when you're getting paid, you know, millions and millions of dollars. But that's still a lot of money. Money is money, right? But, you know, he's not happy. And there was one moment during that interaction with reporters yesterday where, you know, he, instead of saying next question, he said, what do you think of it? Referring to his contract. What do you think of my contract? And, you know, the reporter, not sure who the reporter was, but the reporter said that, you know, Slay does seem underpaid. You do seem underpaid, Darius. And he said, quote, yeah, okay then. Everybody in the world knows, end quote. So when you look at the contract of Darius Slay right now, he is scheduled to make $12.55 million this upcoming season. Third year of a 4-year extension that he signed back in 2016. Now, since signing that contract, let's look at the numbers real quick for Slay. He has 56 pass breakups, 13 interceptions. He's also been selected to 2 straight NFL Pro Bowls at a time now when you take a look at the market right now for cornerbacks, top cornerbacks, has really just gone through the roof. It's pretty amazing. You know, I had to do a double take when I read the headliner of Xavien Howard, who now has become the highest paid corner in the NFL. Howard signed a 5-year, $76.5 million. Yes, I'll say that again. 5-year, $76.5 million extension with the Miami Dolphins. And that's just, you know, months after he was selected to his first Pro Bowl. And Howard is pretty good. He's pretty good. So he becomes the highest paid corner in the NFL with that contract, earning about, you know, like 15 mil per year. And I'll just go through the list. This is the list of the top 10 corners, top 10 paid corners in the league. Xavien Howard, as I just mentioned. Then you have Josh Norman at the age of 32, who's being paid 75 mil. So his contract is up there as well. 36. I also want to note that 27 mil of Xavien Howard's contract is fully guaranteed. Josh Norman has 36 mil that is guaranteed out of that $75 million contract. After Norman, it's Trumaine Johnson of the New York Jets at the age of 29, getting paid $72.5 million, an average of $14 million per year, $45 million total guaranteed, $34 million fully guaranteed. Xavier Rhodes with the Minnesota Vikings at $70 million. It's an average of $14 million per year. Patrick Peterson of the Arizona Cardinals, also at 29, getting paid $70 million as well. Kyle Fuller of the Chicago Bears at 27 years old at $56 million. Desmond Trufant of the Atlanta Falcons, who is 29 years old, $68 million. A.J. Bouye of the Jacksonville Jaguars at the age of 28, $67 million. Stephon Gilmore of the New England Patriots at $65 million. He is 29 at 31. Janoris Jenkins of the New York Giants at $62.5 million. And then you have just on the outside of those brothers looking in, just outside of the top 10, you've got Malcolm Butler of the Tennessee Titans at 29 years old, making $61 million per year. Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos at 30, making $12 million per year, average per year. And again, that's just a one-year deal for him. And then at 13, and again, we're just looking at, you know, coming up for next season. At 13, you have Darius Slay, who is 28. He'll be making $48 million in total value. Again, as I mentioned, 12.55 this upcoming season, so a little over $12 million per year. And he becomes a free agent in 2021. So I mentioned those numbers. 56 pass breakups, 13 INTs, two straight Pro Bowls now. When you compare the productivity of Darius Slay, one of the most experienced members of this Detroit Lions secondary, he is going to play a huge leadership role for this team in the coming years, especially this upcoming season. And, you know, you look at those numbers, Darius Slay's current contract in regards to his productivity in comparison to other top corners in the league, definitely Darius Slay is underpaid. In comparison to the overall market, I can understand why Darius Slay is not a happy man right now. And this is just not what Bob Quinn does. You know, long-term extensions, especially for a corner, that's Bob Quinn has never done that. That's just not what he does. So 13th among highest-paid corners. I wouldn't be happy too. So he held out of the offseason program, including mandatory minicamp, and he actually forfeited $250,000 for workout bonus and is also subjected to, what, $88,650 worth of fines. But again, Bob Quinn, he has never extended a player with multiple years remaining on his deal. And he has continued to hold firm against Slay and also Damon Snacks Harrison. So at the end of the day, I think that, you know, and Slay, and it was funny, those who watched that media interaction yesterday, you know, Slay wasn't happy with anything. I mean, they brought up they brought up his NFL Network ranking, and his NFL Network ranking of the top 100 players in the league is at 86th in the player vote. Slay went on to say, quote, "That's bull," end quote. He was also, they even brought up this. They brought up his rating on the Madden 20, which I'm getting probably this weekend, the Madden 20 video game. And Slay checks in at an 89 overall ranking. And in comparison, you have, you know, Jalen Ramsey. He's trailing, you know, the Jaguars. Jalen Ramsey, who has a 96 on the video game. Stephon Gilmore of the Patriots with a 94, Richard Sherman of the San Francisco 49ers with a 93, Patrick Peterson of the Cardinals with a 92, Byron Jones of my Dallas Cowboys with a 91, and also Chris Harris Jr. of the Denver Broncos with a 90. So he wasn't happy with that, saying, quote, terrible. So this was just a terrible interaction with Darius Slay in the media yesterday. But I get it. You know, if I have made two straight Pro Bowls, if I have gone out there and, you know, had 13 interceptions, where on most Sundays I'm matched up with the best receiver that opposing player has to offer, opposite, and I'm playing for the Detroit Lions of all teams for this horrible franchise, and I'm still not getting my cheese, Darius Slay is for sure underpaid, and he has a legitimate gripe. And then, you know, I also thought about this, too. There's also that factor that I brought up last week on the show. You know, these NFL players are looking at the amount of money that's moving around when it comes to top talent in the National Basketball Association, and there is a hint of jealousy. The NFL, still America's most popular sporting league. You know, the ratings for the top sporting events from this past sporting year, like, I believe like 80% of them were NFL games. People are still watching the NFL. People are still buying NFL merchandise. Ratings are through the roof. You know, these franchises are more valuable than any other North American professional sporting franchise. I mean, it's amazing. But the NBA is still paying its top talent more than the NFL is paying its top talent. So there is a hint of jealousy that's there. And these NFL players, these top NFL players, are not happy with those contracts. And I'm sure that's also a factor in this conversation as well. Heck, I saw Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if you guys saw, before we hit this final break and bring on Johnny Lewis, I don't know if you guys saw the video that he posted on his Instagram. But Jalen Ramsey of the Jacksonville Jaguars, he is already starting his campaign that, hey, you need to pay me. Pay me my money or I'm trying to peace out. He showed up with social media comedian Ha Ha Davis. He showed up in an armored truck. You know, those big trucks that carry a lot of money. And Ha Ha Davis, you know, he hops out of the driver's seat with a megaphone and does his thing. You know, he's having fun with it. And he pumps up Jalen Ramsey. And then Jalen Ramsey comes out the back of this armored truck with two bags of money. And Howard, you know, if he doesn't get a contract extension this offseason and balls out again in 2019, his market value and contract value are also going to rise. So you're starting to see these players in the National Football League, you know, more and more hold out of training camps and say, pay me what I'm worth. And to that I say, you know, hey, more power to you, man. Have no problem with it. Going to have to bite that bullet, though, and cough up, you know, a few thou. But I get the gripe. I totally do. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will have Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. That and more, you are listening to the Fri-Yay edition of Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, getting some reaction on social media at facebook.com/WKAR News, where we have our Current Sports live stream that streams every weekday here on the show at 1 p.m. And, you know, Ben and Steven are shocked at how much Darius Slay is getting paid. Steven says the NFL is making so much money around the world. A great team starts at the defense, basically pay Darius Slay. Ben says, make Slay the highest paid corner in the league. I don't know about that one, but Slay is pretty good. He should be, at least in my opinion, in the top five, right? Chris says, put him at $20 million a season and see if he is worth more after three seasons. And then Ben says, $48 million. Are you kidding me? That's a joke. I'm with you. I'm with you, especially playing for this lowly franchise that is the Detroit Lions. All right. Do we have him? All right, we got Johnny Lewis. It is now time for Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder, Johnny Lewis.
My own Franz, and we just want to pop your
Royce, it's sweating time.
That was the pre-warmer to get you ready for the warm-up, to get you ready for the pre-workout, followed by the workout, which precedes the post-workout. Then we're going into a little 60-minute warm-down.
Okay, the first exercise I'm going to show you is what we call the bench press,
a basic exercise that every beginner should do no matter what sport you're in.
But don't look for an easy way out. Nobody wants to work hard these days. Everybody wants the easy way, the 20-minute abs, the 10-minute this, 10-minute that. Earn it.
All right, we've got Johnny Lewis to close out this hour of current sports like we do each and every Friday. It's time to get you fit with Fit Fridays. Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis is on the other line. J. Lou, what's up, my man?
What's up, Al? Happy Friday, or Friday.
As I like to say.
Fit Friday, whatever you want to call it. Happy Friday, man.
Definitely, man. And as you see on the live stream, man, I am rocking your clothing line, man, that of course promotes your brand, Blessed Body Training. I love these t-shirts, man. I gotta order me like 20 more. I love them, dude. Great quality.
Right, thank you. And you got the original one, so that one isn't even available online anymore. So I know you've been rocking with me for a while.
Come on, man. We're brothers from another mother, of course,
you
dude. So I feel kind of exclusive, man. I got the original version. This thing will be worth a lot of money one day. All right, dude. Let's dive into your two tips as we have about 5 minutes here left in the hour. You want to start with the training tip that we can use in the gym or, in this case, in the swimming pool, right?
Oh, yeah. So I want to talk about swimming for a couple of reasons. For one, it's hot and it's the summertime, and I know you've been getting that blazing heat in Michigan, and just like we have been getting in Arizona, but yours is a little bit more humid. But also, just because of what you were talking about earlier on the show about the 19-year-old kid beating Michael Phelps' record. So I was like, swimming is a perfect topic because it's a great workout for your endurance, your cardiovascular, and for muscle building. So I think for the rest of this summer, we should get out. And even if you can't swim, because, Al, I know you're not the best swimmer. I know you can swim the doggy paddle, and I'm not the best swimmer as well, but I can swim to save my life. But even if you can't swim, I suggest you go out and get in the pool and move in the water. You know, no matter if it's swimming, doggy paddle, breaststroke, anything, you know. I even encourage doing squats in the pool if you can. So
definitely, man. And how many times have we seen, like, you know, basketball players, football players, boxers? You know, Muhammad Ali has that famous photo of him at the bottom of the pool working out, right? Because when you swim and when you're training in the pool, I mean, you're really working out just about every single muscle in your body, right?
Right, right. You're working every muscle in the body. And the thing about being in a pool, it's less impact on your body because you don't have to worry as much about joint wear and tear, you know? So swimming, like you just named it, it's a full body workout because you're working every muscle in your body because of that water resistance, you know?
Yeah, and that water resistance is serious, man. That's awesome stuff. So what are your, you know, other than the squats, you know, what are some of your favorite workouts to do in the pool, other than the squats and the swimming, of course?
Of course. Sometimes I like to go to the bottom of the pool and punch. I can't remember who I saw do it. It might have been Mike Tyson, actually.
Yeah, well, you know who we got that from. Muhammad Ali started that, man.
Muhammad Ali. Yeah, so I like to punch in the pool. I even go down to the bottom and do push-ups. Not anything deep, but, you know, like three to five feet. You know, I go down there, do push-ups, squats. Just, like I said, move. Do anything you can in the pool. Honestly, any workout you can do
right
outside of the pool, you can do in the pool. You can do sit-ups down there if you can hold your breath long enough. So just get in the pool and just work out.
Love it, man.
Work out. If you can't swim, if you can't doggy paddle, at least do something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in the movie Creed 2 with Michael B. Jordan, he has an ode to the great Muhammad Ali, and he does a workout at the bottom of the pool that's really cool in one of the training sequences. All right, man. The tip that you want to give us in the kitchen, you want to talk about one-pan meals and how it helps with meal prep timing.
Yeah, so a lot of people say that they don't have time to meal prep because it takes too much time, depending on the method you go with. But I suggest the one-pan meals because basically all you have to do is prep it, like season it and cut up the veggies and whatever meat you choose. And then basically you're just leaving it in the oven, and depending on how much you cook, it could be for a couple of days or it could be for the whole week. So I just want to talk about two of my favorites. One is just like chicken, asparagus, and potatoes. You basically just cook them, prepare them the regular way, you know, with however you season, and then just throw them in the pan and basically just let it cook in the oven. Another one is salmon, broccoli, and sweet potatoes. If you are a pescatarian or if you don't want to eat chicken for whatever reason. So, like I said, there's so many different recipes. You have 3-ingredient, 5-ingredient, 7-ingredient, 1-pan meals, but it can definitely save time with meal prepping because most of the cooking will be in the oven. So you can do whatever you want, you know, during
definitely
that time. So it's like maybe 5 to 10 minutes prep time.
I love that, man. I love that. That's some great advice, and those are two great recipes. All right, Johnny, 30 seconds left, man. Thanks so much for coming on for another edition of Fit Fridays, brother.
I think you look good in that shirt, Al, man.
I love them. They're high quality, man. They fit to me. They fit to me, especially, you know, I've been working out, so I want to, you know, I need more fitted shirts like this. So thank you so much, dude.
All right, thanks for having me, and stay blessed, man.
Always, always stay blessed, the great Johnny Lewis. All right, folks. Well, that is it. Another week of current sports in the books. Have a fantastic weekend. The weather is going to be gorgeous here in the state of Michigan. Take care. We'll see you Monday, and be easy, people.